actual words, apasyat, tanmayam jagat. He saw the whole world filled with Krishna, with the Supreme Lord. Of course, he is not aware of the form of Krishna, because Krishna had not been born, but he had took Vishnu as his enemy, and he thought Vishnu was going to be born, and his previous life, of course, he had fought with Supreme Lord Vishnu. But he never recognized him as the Supreme Lord, just as an enemy. So here, the positive aspect of that is described while he was eating and sleeping and doing whatever. He was always absorbed in thinking of Krishna, Supreme Lord. It is later described that one can approach the Lord either with dvesha or with kama or whatever. Devotion. So, dvesha is described as the unfavorable way of approaching the Supreme Lord. But nevertheless, it is mentioned along with the other positive aspects simply because of the absorption, that is all. Otherwise, there's no equivalence between thinking of the Lord unfavorably and favorably. It's quite different. Here we have Kamsa thinking unfavorably of the Supreme Lord. So we don't consider this bhakti in any way, and therefore through this one generally does not get prema. Prabhupada here quotes from Nectar of Devotion, Anukulena Krishna Anusilanam. To cultivate a relationship with Krishna, Anukulena, which is favorable. So that means the intentions of the person are favorable, are in order to please the Lord. They take Krishna as a friend and they try to please him. So that is the meaning of anukulya. They try to please the Lord. So one can also establish a relationship with the Lord not trying to please the Lord. That is by trying to displease the Lord in some way, or trying to make him your enemy. So that is not considered to be bhakti. It is certainly a relationship with the Lord, but it isn't negative. So we will see many cases in the pastimes of Krishna of the enemies. There were so many enemies, and they had a negative relationship, a relationship of hatred, like Shishupala or Dandavakra, or Jarasandha, etc. They all had, hatred relationships. And they cultivated that relationship of hatred. So it was a Krishna Anusilanam in one sort. But it was unfavorable. That means with hatred, with dislike. So, therefore, that is not considered to be bhakti. So this definition of bhakti is given as a general definition, which includes sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prem bhakti. They all have this common element of favorable relationship with the Supreme Lord. We see that the demons are the opposite. They also cultivate a relationship, but it is in hatred. It is somewhat similar, we can say, because the favorable relationship with the Lord is there in, we express that in sadhana bhakti by engaging our senses and hearing and chanting and remembering, etc. And then later on, these become what are called anubhavas in prema. They are active actions to express the love for the Supreme Lord. So the enemy also has actions. So these are the actions here. He was thinking of Krishna all the time. But we'll find that's a mental action. When it comes to physical things, of course, then we'll find his actions are quite different from service. So certainly he's thinking of the Lord, but he's thinking enemy. When it comes to actions, he does actions which are unfavorable for the Lord completely, such as trying to kill him, which is completely different from the engagement of the devotee's senses in trying to please the Lord. So though there is some, say, superficial similarity between the two types of people, ultimately quite different because of that negative relationship, thinking of the Lord as an enemy. So, if one has such a hatred of the Lord, then that will give rise to absorption in the Lord. One will become always thinking of how to kill them or how to avoid them or whatever like that. Completely absorbed in that a particular person. So if that happens, the absorption is considered to be a good aspect. That aspect is good. So that is why it is mentioned in relation to the other types of activities such as friendliness and love, etc., because of absorption. So in that sense, that is a favorable aspect. Everything else, of course, is considered to be bad. It's rejected. But the absorption is the good part. So if one can transform the hatred into an intense love for the Lord and be absorbed in that way, then very, very good. And then absorption is praiseworthy in that sense. So here, because it is hatred, then the result is usually quite different from what one attains from absorbing oneself with affection for the Lord. In the case of Krishna, this absorption reaches a great intensity in comparison to other forms of the Lord. The absorption becomes, we can say, intense. And that is described here where while he's sitting or standing or talking or sleeping or eating or whatever, he's always thinking of the Supreme Lord in the form of Krishna, even though he's not really seen Krishna yet. So, this is also so in the case of Shishupala. He also became absorbed in Krishna, and he would always be uttering his name and cursing him and whatever like that. So, this effect of absorption in Krishna is considered to be a very unusual phenomena that does not take place with the other forms of the Lord when they have enemies like Hiranyakasipu or Ravana. They don't become absorbed in Rama or Nrsimhadev. So the reason is that because Krishna has all attractive qualities, they become absorbed in spite of their hatred. So they cannot stop thinking of him. Particularly in the case of Shishupala, he had seen Krishna, he had heard of Krishna, he saw his activities, and consequently was thinking of him in hatred, and he would utter his name in hatred. So the absorption in the Lord, even unfavorably, has a good effect. Eventually, that absorption in the Lord, even with animosity, purifies the person of all his anarthas. This is this particular power of Krishna. The purification of anarthas does not take place with Hiranyakasipu or Ravana. And therefore they were born again in the material world. But when the enemies of Krishna concentrate on him with great absorption, they burn up their karmas and their desires, etc. And the Lord kills them and they get liberation or they go to the spiritual world. It's because they have been purified already due to their absorption in Krishna. Why they're absorbed in Krishna? Because Krishna has manifests more attraction than the other forms of the Lord, and therefore they become more absorbed in him. So that is that example is given to show how Krishna is distinguished from everyone else. He is Swayam Bhagavan. Why? Because of the attractive qualities. How is it illustrated? Because even the demons, they become absorbed in him, and by that absorption, they become purified, and therefore they go to get liberation or they go to the spiritual world. So this is the an example of how Krishna has more attractive qualities manifested than other forms of the Supreme Lord. So, of course, in the case of Kamsa, as I said, he didn't actually even see the Lord. He didn't see Krishna. But, of course, we can say that Krishna was in the womb, so that influence itself had some, being in the womb affected him in some way at this point. Later on, of course, once Krishna was born, then he would hear about Krishna from different spies that he sent to Vrindavan and hear about his activities. Then he heard about how he killed all the demons, etc., etc. So in that sense, he was aware of all of his extraordinary activities in killing demons, etc. And he also became absorbed in Krishna animosity. So these are examples of unfavorable Krishna consciousness. They are conscious of the Lord, not accepting him as the Supreme Lord, but with hatred as an enemy. And therefore they may fear him because of that. So generally, fear, anger, hatred, they are not favorable for approaching the Lord. It's very difficult to establish a relationship based on fear or hatred or anger. How can it be positive? So therefore, in bhakti, the main relationships are shanta, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya. They are favorable relationships of love. But we do have the secondary relationship. We have this krodha expressed in a rasa. And we have bhayanak rasa as well. So these two are manifested as secondary rasas only. They cannot stand on their own. As far as bhakti is concerned, yes. As far as people like Kamsa who are not doing bhakti, yes, they become the main rasa. Hatred is one of the main rasas. Fear is one of the main rasas because they hate everybody in the material world, more or less, and they try to persecute everybody, and including the Supreme Lord, and they fear death, etc. So they're very, very prominent, and they have no affection for anybody. So in the material world, of course, the secondary rasas often operate quite strongly and more strongly than the primary rasas. But in the spiritual world, the opposite. The primary rasas are strong and they are the basis of everything, and the secondary rasas manifest to some extent and they disappear again. So, in relation to the Krishna, how does the devotee manifest fear? Sometimes, of course, the devotee may fear the Lord because he may have committed he's committed aparad, so he fears the Lord, that the Lord will get upset with him. So therefore, fear is directed towards the Supreme Lord. But that usually is temporary. The other fear is not that the Lord is going to do something, rather he fears for the Lord because of demons or whatever like that. So that is quite common in the spiritual world or in the Krishna's pastimes. So therefore, Mother Yasoda fears that Krishna will be goes to the forest and he will be attacked by some demon or something like this, or the wild animals will attack him or whatever. So that is fear for Krishna. And that's again secondary to the, and it arises because of the love for Krishna. So that is the fear aspect. And the anger aspect, of course, is there in higher rasas, like it won't be there in Sakya rasa really so much, but we get in Madhurya rasa particularly, we get anger rasa as a secondary manifestation. The gopis become angry at Krishna in the rasa lila because he disappeared, and so why did he disappear like that? So they get a little angry with him because of that. They get angry with Krishna because he goes out with Chandravali or something like that. So that type of anger is expressed. But it's only a manifestation of their love for Supreme Lord. So that's temporary. Whereas in the material world, the anger is expressed as a prominent factor in many, many people. And therefore we have, Krodha is one of the gates to hell. Anger, due to anger, lust, anger, and greed, one goes to hell. So Krodha is a very prominent influence in the material world because of frustrated desires, etc. So in the spiritual world, these are minor influences, and these act as favorably because they create variety within the positive rasa of love. So they act to increase the taste of the sthayi bhava, the main rasa. So there is no criticism of those secondary rasas in the spiritual world because of that. In the material world, the rasas act in the opposite way. Fear and anger cause problems. They cause unhappiness, as we say here. And ultimately, the anger leads to action, action leads to karma, and you get bondage in the material world and more suffering. So the effect of the secondary rasas in the material world is you end up in bondage and you suffer more. In the spiritual world, those rasas, they enhance the rasa and they create happiness for Krishna and the jiva. So the effects are quite different. So we shouldn't equate these the two types of rasa in the material world and in the spiritual world. So here Kamsa is approaching the Lord with anger and fear and hatred, etc. So it cannot be called bhakti at all. But due to the great nature of Krishna, his all-attractive nature, it develops some positive aspect because of Krishna. And ultimately, due to that absorption, Kamsa gets liberation. Shishupala goes to the spiritual world, etc. So these are the extraordinary acts of Krishna in relation to his enemies. When Vishnu or any of the other forms of the Lord see the hatred of a demon or whatever, they also are not disturbed by it. Krishna is also not disturbed by the anger, the hatred, or whatever. And in fact, it is said that Nrsimhadev actually enjoyed the anger and the fighting of Hiranyakasipu, because he likes to fight. So it's very, very good. He enjoyed it. So in that sense, in spite of Hiranyakasipu's great attempts to kill him, it was a great enjoyment, and it gave pleasure to the Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord in no way is disturbed by any of these actions of the Asuras, as we see with Krishna when he went to the arena of Kamsa there. And very, very easily they were able to kill the wrestlers. They killed Krishna killed the elephant. And then he jumped up on the throne and dragged Kamsa down, and he very, very easily killed him also. So no difficulty in handling these demons, and no fear involved at all. The Lord has no fear. If ever the Lord expresses some fear, it is a fake type of fear, just for some sort of pastime or whatever. So anyway, the Lord has none of these iffy shows, fear or anger or whatever. They're not actual fear, anger, hatred, etc. So any of the forms of the Lord also do not have any real hatred of the demons or whatever. The Lord is sama towards everybody. So therefore, when he kills the demon, even Vishnu or Nrsimhadev kills a demon, there's no hatred involved in that act at all. And any action of the Lord is beneficial for everyone, so therefore there is benefit for even those persons who were killed by Vishnu or Rama or Nrsimhadev or whatever. But they don't get the same effect as Krishna does. So Krishna kills a demon, they get liberation, or they go to the spiritual world. When the other forms of the Lord kill the demons, what happens? They get some good position of happiness in the material world. They don't go to hell. So normally, these demons, because of their acts of bad karma, they must go to hell. But being killed by the Lord, that counters that law of karma. And they don't go to hell. And they get a very nice birth. So Ranikasipu became Ravana, and he got to enjoy Lanka very, very nicely for many years. And Ravana got to enjoy Sishupala. So when the other forms of the Lord kill demons, again, they don't get any bad destination. They get a good destination because the Lord is merciful and he does not hate anybody. So his punishment is the killing itself. And then he also gives some advantage to them as well. So in no case does the Lord really have any hatred of anyone, even the demons. So we cannot say that about the demons. No, their hatred is actual. It is not some artificial thing. Show. They actually do have hatred, fear, anger, etc. And these are not in any way. They never give any good results for them at all. But because it's related to the Lord, then the Lord gives them some effect. And we see that Kamsa gets liberation as a result.
Also, we've seen that the demons are directing their anger and fear towards the Lord. What about non-devotees directing their anger towards devotees? They get some benefit? When non-devotees, they get angry with devotees doing Nagasankirtan, coming to the street, distributing books. They keep scolding the devotees. They may get some effect.
Well, usually it's aparad. Vaishnava aparad. They don't have that absorption, like as in the case of Krishna. They don't become absorbed. So even with Rama or Narsimhadeva, there's no absorption. What to speak of devotees. So therefore, it's simply hatred and offense, aparad. So they don't get any good effect from that.
What about devotees getting, doing the other devotees? One devotee is showing his anger on the other devotee.
Yeah.
Isn't this aparad? That is...
Well, that's aparad again.
See, Hiranyaksha was trying to kill Varahadev, and he had a he fought with Varaha, but this fighting was also pleasing to Varaha.
Yeah.
Okay, but here intention, this intention was not there with Hiranyaksha, that to please Supreme Lord.
What's that?
Intention was not there with...
was not to please, yeah.
To please Varaha, but Varahadev was happy.
Yeah.
So because of that intention, that we can consider it as a bhakti, or because of the intention was not there to please a Supreme Lord, that wouldn't consider it as a bhakti. Same one? And what about another things, like how to categorize this? Like those who killed by the Supreme Lord, they get liberation, especially by Krishna.
By Krishna. Yeah.
So you see, those who are meditating on impersonal Brahmajyoti, they also get liberation. Is the same category or different category?
Yeah. So therefore it is said, what is the use of liberation that the jnanis and yogis strive for? Because the demons get it also. So what is the use of that? But when the Lord kills them. So yes, similar.
If someone directly killed by Krishna, immediately he's getting...
So therefore actually it's not a very good destination, ultimately. It's not a good destination, but the demons often get that, so it's not favorable as far as what the devotees get from their point of view. It's not nothing favorable as far as devotion is concerned. But it is peaceful, so in that sense, it keeps the demons out of trouble.
May also get the same benefit.
Well, yeah, as I said, but they have to wait for the incarnation of the Supreme Lord to come on the next day of Brahma, and they may or may not get that benediction, unless they're very special demons.
You may say the Lord has appeared as a holy name, so I can just go against the holy name and get the benefit.
How? In hatred? Hear the holy name in hatred. You can do that, hear it in hatred, and eventually you can get purified through that as well. Just like some of the devotees, there's some, there are people in America, for instance, they really hate the devotees and whatever, but after they tip prasadam, and after taking prasadam for a long time, then they became favorable.
Mantras and